Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
I might sound a little bit biased in this last night because I was very excited about what the Knicks were doing. I just was. Going into that game last night, there was a feeling that I had about that team that I hadn't had in a long, long time, which was you're excited to watch a regular season basketball game. Like, there was legit hype about that game. Mm-hmm. Because of what LeBron had said, the fact that it was the Cavaliers, the Knicks were 7-5 going into the game, playing really, really well. And when a franchise has been dormant for that long, and you get something like that, it's just, I mean, the feelings are just great. So before we get to some of the drama, the off-the-court drama, I mean, even the fact that they ended up blowing that game in a major way, we're up 23 points, they got outscored by 20 in the fourth quarter. Just a total meltdown. I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed the meltdown?
I enjoyed the meltdown because I was feeling stuff that I hadn't felt about that team in a long time. Because instead of hopelessness, I was actually feeling pain through what was going on the court. As opposed to the fact that they're never going to do anything. They're not any good. I can't believe that these idiots are running the franchise. You know, watching them blow a game was like, this is cool.
That is not cool. I thought you'd take the other perception is the fact that this is a team that has a lead on a Cleveland Cavaliers team, albeit struggling Cleveland Cavaliers team. But, hey, we had a chance to blow these guys out of the gym. That's what you would want.
Of course, and I did want it. Doesn't mean I didn't want it.
Oh, you wanted it until you didn't want it.
No,
until you saw it wasn't going to happen.
No, you're missing my point. I didn't want them to blow the game. I wanted them to win the game. I wanted them to blow them out. I wanted them to win by a little bit. I just wanted them to win. But coming out of it, I felt great that I had the emotions of frustration of them actually losing a basketball game, because usually it's about the fact that they suck, they don't know what they're doing,
care. They gave you reason to care.
There you go.
There it is.
There you go. Now you're
awesome. You had reason to emote, and so you haven't had that opportunity for years now. Or you have, but it's just been on a negative, such a negative scale that there was some positivity within the negativity that you could draw from.
Yeah, it was nice for them to have a bad loss, if that makes any sense at all. That's what I tweeted out last night. It was nice for the Knicks to actually have a bad loss.
He deep.
I mean, because it's that type of stuff, because they were relevant last night.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, they're not relevant.
Yeah.
Last night, they were a relevant basketball team in the NBA.
Because usually in the past, you know what's coming next. You know the other shoe's about to drop, and they may be in a ball game, they may have a lead, but you know something's about to happen. There's no way they're going to hold this lead. There's
It's not even that. It's not even about the games.
Who cares
about the games?
Oh.
That's my point. Is that like it's always about Phil or Carmelo? Who's going to get traded? Uh-huh. What are they going to do? This pick sucks or this guy's hurt.
No
like
drama.
That's what it is. There's no drama within the game. These guys played their asses off last night. They blew a game that they should have won, and it actually felt good because I felt like they came out of this thing relevant. And by the way, the stuff that happened during the game, before the game, after the game, also awesome. So you had LeBron James make the comments about how the Knicks should have drafted Dennis Smith Jr. instead of Frank Ntilikina. And he never said instead of, he just said that he was available at that point. The Knicks didn't draft him. The Mavericks got him after that, and they made a mistake there. And then everybody took that as a big shot to Ntilikina, obviously, because Ntilikina was selected ahead of Dennis Smith Jr. Enes Kanter comes out, friend of G. Owen Jones, and he says, nope, we're happy with what we got. And then LeBron comes out. And by the way, he prefaced those statements about Dennis Smith Jr. going, this is going to make headlines. And then the next day was like, everybody in New York got their pants in a bunch over this. Mm-hmm. They're just looking for some sort of controversy.
Panties in a bunch.
Well, he said pants.
I know.
But
I'm just helping him out.
But I know. So anyway. And then he's acting as if Like, it was New York's fault that, that the headlines were made when he knew exactly what was going
to
happen.
It was a throwaway line. I didn't mean to insult the young man, Frank Ann, but I said it, and I don't know why you guys are jumping all on top of me for being angry. I meant nothing about the young fella. I just was trying in a not-so-good way to compliment Dennis Smith.
Yeah, well, anyway, he's got to be smarter than that. So, during the game, this was one of these moments. Like, I was sitting there smiling ear to ear in another emotion I hadn't felt about this team in a long, long time.
You were emoting a lot last night.
Well, I was. Mm. There was a lot of that going on.
Tito, give me a tissue.
So after LeBron James, there's an alley-oop, and the Cavaliers score, and Neal Akeen is on the floor, Cantor's on the floor. LeBron is just standing there, statuesque-like, and he's in Neal Akeena's way as he's trying to get the basketball. Neal Akeena pushes him once, pushes him twice, pushes him a third time to get out of the way. Not intimidated at all.
Mm-mm.
LeBron starts to get in his face. Cantor comes in the defense of Neal Akeena, and the three of them are getting into it, and then you have the double technicals on Cantor and LeBron
Neal
James.
Akeena, he instigated that. LeBron was just standing there. He pushed him three times. LeBron did not instigate that. Now, and he just stared at him. And then when Cantor comes over, that's when they got to chirping, and things could have escalated there, but they didn't. But Neal Akeena, he didn't have to do what he did, man. He did that on purpose.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
And there's nobody denying that. But you said instigated it. How about the comments that instigated all of this to begin with? You think Frank Neal Akeena...
Don't get your pants in a bunch.
You think Frank Neal Akeena is going to be hitting LeBron James at all if he doesn't say any of that stuff? Mm-hmm. And LeBron does that. He does that stuff. He likes to, like, stand there and be a pest like that. He did the same thing to Draymond Green in the finals. That's like a move of his that he does. So,
I'm Macho Man.
Yeah. So whatever. But you know what? And I'm not saying that. I mean, Neal Akeena did, like, go out of his way to hit him multiple times. There's no doubt about it. But great!
Yeah.
Somebody had some balls, for crying out loud. He's 19 years old from France, and he doesn't give a crap about LeBron James.
Carmelo was doing that. No, Derrick Rose was doing that last year.
Derrick Rose went MIA for a day. Hey, Carmelo Anthony, are you kidding me? And then Enes Kanter, who's been here for what? Or Enes Kanter, whatever. You know, he's been here for 10 minutes.
Yep.
He's known Frank Neal Akeena for 9 of those 10 minutes. And he's standing up for him like the two of these guys grew up together in Turkey.
That's what they're supposed to do. You're
it's
supposed
amazing.
To stand up for your players, your teammates, the Rook.
I know you are.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen this in the longest time. Like you're saying, you're supposed to do that. Yeah, you're supposed to
Carmelo
do that.
Carmelo Anthony stood up for his guys.
Oh, shut up.
They stood up for him in the Honey Cheerios moment.
No, they didn't.
Oh, they did.
Oh, what a mess. Oh, that was just awesome. It was, and then the guards going crazy, and it's LeBron.
Was.
It was just, oh, yep, it was just.
And then LeBron went crazy.
Oh, I was having flashbacks, and he did. And they were obviously the better team, and they're going to be fine, the Cavaliers, at some point, but whatever.
But that's good. That now you have the vibrancy of the garden. It's back, and you got these young cats who are playing so well. Porzingis all season long thus far, and now you have this Rook, and you have Cantor bringing some backbone to the franchise and some fight. So that's great. Great that they have that. It gives folks a reason to flock to the garden, and now teams know you're not going to waltz in here and just push these guys around. They have a different mindset. You don't hear all this talk about the drama off the court with the front office and Carmelo Anthony, when he wants to be here, he wants to be out, and should they trade him. So this is a new, fresh start for this team. And, yeah, the training wheels are still on to a certain extent because you have so many new faces, but this is great that they come out and they're showing some emotion. Oh. They're showing some fight.
Good. It's amazing to me. And this is why Carmelo Anthony was just such a turd for so long. That this is a guy who got that, you know, I'm coming home treatment and I'm a New Yorker and I'm this and la la and blah, blah, blah. Right. And then a guy, a 19-year-old from France and a newcomer to this team from Turkey, represented the Knicks more in 35 seconds and this city better in 35 seconds than Carmelo did in his entire time here.
Carmelo is not that type of player. He's not going to come in and be the leader, and we've discussed this numerous times. He's not that type of leader. His game is standing out there on the perimeter, shooting and doing what he does, and he does it at a high level, but that's just not in him. He doesn't have those leadership qualities. That's why I never associate him with that superstardom, even though he has in his paycheck. It makes you believe he's a superstar. And he has utterances like that. But he wasn't a guy who was going to lead this basketball team. It looks like they may have some guys, definitely down the road, that can lead them.
All right, so let's listen after the game to Cantor. Give me number four, Pete. This is Cantor talking about LeBron after the game.
You ain't coming to my house playing that water bottle flip game again. You know what I mean? I don't care who you are, king. What do you call yourself? King, queen, princess, whatever you are. You know what? We're going to fight. And nobody out there going to punk us. So we're just going out there, play our game, and I think we're just going to get better and better every day.
Oh, man.
You love it?
I love
it. He's getting wispy over here.
If that was another team, I'd be like, stop, you guys stink, whatever. But there's just something about it's coming out of the Garden and the Knicks, and these guys understand that you can't be pushed around. We've been pushed around for so long.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But you need that. You need that enforcer. Oh. Maybe Cantor's the new Oakley.
I love it.
Yes.
The new Oakley. So in 20 years, he's going to get dragged out of the Garden.
Yeah, but for now, he's the man.
Right. By the Turkish government. And let's listen to LeBron after the game reacting to that king, queen, princess comment.
He caught what? What does it say it again?
You can call yourself king, queen, princess. You're not going to punk us.
Well, I'm the king. My wife is the queen. And my daughter is the princess. So we got all three covered.
There you go. Even though it looked corny. But, hey, that's LeBron. He can be corny at times.
I mean, he sort of is, isn't he?
Yep.
At times. I mean, I think like all the time.
I have a huge basketball IQ.
You do. Yep.
Yeah, I made my decision last night that I because the last couple of years I was turning on LeBron and just not becoming a LeBron fan. I could never really because he's never been my guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really giving him like a ton of respect the last couple of years. And rightfully so. Last night, that's gone.
It's gone?
It's gone. Yeah, forget it. Screw him. I don't
because he went after the rook?
I don't need LeBron in my life.
I'm the best player in the world.
I don't
need him in my life.
I don't need him.
You know he was in your life. Who's in your life that's playing basketball?
The Warriors. I'm telling you, the Warriors.
Then the Knicks are back in your life, right?
Well, the Knicks, obviously. I just wasn't talking about them. They're in my life. The Warriors are in my life.
Your boy with the Nuggets?
Yeah, Jokic is in my life. Mm.
The Suns.
No, the Suns are not in my life. Giannis Antetokounmpo's in my life.
But no LeBron.
You know, the Rockets last year were in my life.
They were in a big way, yeah.
Yeah, Harden was in my life, and then he embarrassed me because it went out.
Yep.
I don't know how many times I talked about how great the Rockets were.
See what happens when they're in your life?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not going to miss him. I'm not. When he retires, I'm not going to miss LeBron.
Hmm.
Like, I really missed Kobe when he was gone. I'm not going to miss LeBron. I'm not into him. And then that whole Subway thing. So coming up in...
You didn't like the Subway thing?
Just over 5 minutes. No, I didn't because it was... Someone said we're going to be riding the Subway like the common people or something. Or like the... I don't know. Someone
who said that?
J.R. Smith, I think, said that. And I was like, oh, like, excuse us.
Common people?
You know, like it was just... They make a whole big deal. Look, we're on the Subway. Like, okay. Big deal. So what? You took the Subway for once in your life. Is that like such a humongous deal that you got to film every second of it? And then they film this guy we're going to talk to in 5 minutes. It's James Michelangelo who's like, and he's like, get this camera out of my face.
But that's what people do. And you tell him if you had been on that Subway and you saw the Cavaliers, you wouldn't have taken a picture or something.
No, absolutely. You know
maybe
me.
Maybe you wouldn't have.
You
but
know
most
me.
People would have.
No, not in New York. People don't care, man. You know this. Since you moved here, there's a major criticism you've had about the city and the people who live here. Is that it's head down, it's battle every day.
Yeah.
There's no saying hi. There's no pleasantries. It's I've got to get somewhere. I don't care who you are or who you represent. I've got to be somewhere, and that's what matters in my life. So I think most New Yorkers are that way. I mean, you see it all the time. You watch the news, the local news at night. You know, there's people. I go to Pittsburgh, a local news reporter's outside somewhere. There's people in the background waving. They're trying to get on TV. New York is head down, boom, boom. They don't care about being on TV. It's a nuisance.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
So, and this guy.
They don't even care about cars. They're walking through the crosswalk, head down, looking at their phone.
And this guy, James Michelangelo, LeBron puts the camera on him. He goes, "Can you not?" And then puts his hand in the camera and gets up and leaves. And we're going to talk to him in 5 minutes because he is now, you know, like a real bastion of everything that is New York City.
Don't you do that when people have their camera up trying to take pictures of you?
What, go, can you not?
Yeah, everyone does that. Don't take no pictures.
No pictures, please.
No photos.
No, nobody's.
You don't do that?
No. I don't. Yeah. Nobody's taking pictures of me. That's the thing, you know? I mean, how many times has that happened to you a lot? He's trying to do it now. Can you not, Brian Jones?
As I beat up the mic. Yeah, that happens from time to time. No pictures. That's all right.
No please. Pictures. Yeah, no pictures. No. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to that James Michelangelo and then talk to Andrew Bogish. We will tweet out that video of James. If you didn't see it yesterday when LeBron puts the camera on him, he was, excuse me, he was dead serious, this James.
Right.
Did not want to be on camera. Had no idea who these guys were.
Right.
And was just, get out of my face. So we'll talk to him next. Oh, sorry. You got to read first.
That's the setup?
If you want to help out some kids in Africa by taking some pills.
Stop. Never mind. Here's the truth, folks.
I thought you wanted
many
more.
Many of you have simply had it. You struggle with pain long enough, and you want what I wanted. A 100% drug-free answer to your pain. It's Brian Jones here with that great lead-in, right? Again, for my answer to pain after a professional career in football, yes, of course, I'm talking about Relief Factor. But the really big news is that anybody struggling with pain can lower or even eliminate your pain with this wonderful product. My problem was I had a pain in my elbow. I had no idea where this pain had come from, but surfaced, and it wasn't going away. And then I started taking Relief Factor, and it is gone, and it hasn't return. Maybe you'd like to play golf or tennis again without pain, or take those nice long walks again, or how about sleeping through the night again without pain? Neck, back, shoulder, hip, and knee pain can be simply awful. Here's what I suggest. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick start, a super value at just $19.95, so you can see if it will help you like it did me. ReliefFactor.com, that's ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
There was a guy who represented us all, those who have grinded it out on the subway, those who don't want to be there, those who have somewhere to be that doesn't involve someone else's somewhere to be. Don't look at me, don't talk to me, and don't film me, because I've got a life that's just as important as yours. Get out of my face.
Oh, y'all are just curmudgeons.
No, we're not. This is the way. If you grew up here like we did, you'd feel the same way.
Just angry. I know. Yeah, if I grew up here, I'd feel the same way. Angry.
Yeah, that's right. And James Michelangelo was the man on that video when LeBron turned the camera to him as he's sitting on the subway. And he said, he spoke for all of us when he put his hand to the camera and said, "Can you not?" So here he is on the phone with us right now. James, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
So this was an amazing moment for a lot of people. And then there's people who are non-New Yorkers who are going to say, how can this guy see LeBron James, and even if he doesn't know who he is, be that upset by that moment? So I understand it. Explain to the people, because we're on a national radio show, explain to the people your point of view and how this went down and why you did what you did.
Sure. I mean, listen, you know as well as I do, living in a city like New York, it is unlike any place else, and the New York City subway is inundated with, you know, millions of people every day. We all have to coexist. Everyone's really busy. It's an intense city, and so there are rules. There are unspoken rules that we all have with each other, and even when tourists come, we kind of, like, herd them into those rules in a very nice way, and when someone gets out of line, we have to let them know. But, you know, it's not, like, in a really... You know, I wasn't really angry. I was annoyed, and I don't like a man spread messing up my morning.
A man spread, that is female spread. Yeah, we're all in line with that. No, okay. So,
have you watched my video?
I have not. Okay, listen. Well, so, but what you did is not
my wife. Yeah. Uh-huh.
What you did is not solely New York. Anyone anywhere would say, "Hey, don't take a picture of me." Am I correct?
Well, you know what? In this digital iPhone age, I'm not sure. I think some people don't mind it, and I think other people do. I'm one of those people that do. I mean, I'm in entertainment, and I get on camera a lot, so I kind of want my sacred space, and I feel like the New York City subway or public transportation should be off limits to that.
Now, LeBron James, when he sits down next to you and you're thinking, the first thing you're thinking is, all right, I'm getting pushed around a little bit. This is ridiculous. The second thing, the camera's in your face. Yeah, at what point were you really? It was the camera that set you off, though. But prior to that, them walking in like they own the place, that was an issue, too, right?
No, actually, the issue was he sat down next to me and squished me, but he almost hit me in the head three times with his elbow.
Oh.
And then he actually did kind of like knocked or like touched my forehead. But, you know, it was, again, one of those moments on the subway where you're like, hey, you're about to hit my head. And I put my hand up, and his bodyguard in front of me, who, by the way, is half his size and looks like a water boy. I don't know why he needs a bodyguard. But he was like, you know, hey, watch him. And I was like, really, dude? I was like, he's about to elbow me in the head.
Did LeBron not say excuse me?
No. In fact,
oh, well, he's a New Yorker then, because no one says excuse me around here. Way to go, that's LeBron.
That's not true. That's so not true, and you know that.
No, I know. I'm telling the truth. I know that.
Oh, stop. Come on. You're not on the subway. You get Ubers and you drive your Mercedes.
They don't say excuse me either.
Yeah, give me a break. I mean, if you're on the subway like me and James, you'd know that there are some polite people that say excuse me that understand what the deal is. That does exist.
All New Yorkers are.
Yeah.
Unless they stand in front of the door and then they turn sideways, which, by the way, doesn't help. But aside from that, everybody's really cool and they usually know their space.
So, James, you had a choice to make, and I would have done the same thing you did. You either could have gone anonymous and said, all right, this moment I'm just going to go on with my day, or you're going to go out there and talk about it with us and other people. Why did you make the decision that you did to go public with all of it?
You know, it's fun, and I'm a New Yorker, like I said, and I'm in both, you know, I'm a comic and I'm in real estate. I'm out there in New York a lot, and I just thought it was like a fun opportunity to talk about this, you know? And listen, he tweeted it out, and then other people kept on tweeting it, and I was inundated yesterday, and I thought, well, you know, I can't just ignore this.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I would have done the same thing, especially it's your face. You're out there, especially right. If you're doing – now, you've got a new show that you're starting, JMA New York. What's that about?
Yeah, it's a talk show that combines comedy and real estate. It's for the digital market, and we have two platforms.
Oh, no, we lost him.
Oh, he was on the subway.
We lost him.
Mm-hmm.
We lost him during his plug, of all things.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
His phone had enough. It was angry. Excuse me. I mean, anyone say excuse me around here.
Well,
whatever.
You're not exactly the bastion of...
Bull Dookie, I say excuse me, good morning, hello, goodbye. Don't you even start. Not the bastion of what? Finish your sentence. Finish your lie.
No, the bastion of... let me put this in a way that you're not going to throw something at me. Polite salutations?
Yes, I am. I was raised right.
You don't want to get personal.
That has nothing to do with being a personal salutation. That's a totally different sport.
You take that to Scotland or somewhere.
You're
okay?
The only one that sounds angry right now.
Because you're lying on me.
Yeah, okay.
Finish your plug, James Michelangelo.
Yeah. Go ahead, James. We lost you there.
All right. Yeah, I'm back. So, yeah, it's called JMA New York. It's a show that combines real estate and comedy. And it's for the digital market. And two different platforms are about to pick it up. So I'm excited. It's been a lot of fun this summer to film it.
What's so funny about the real estate market?
Well, what isn't? I mean, the people you meet, it's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, there's nothing like New York City real estate.
You ain't lying.
It really never fluctuates. It kind of always goes up, which astounds me. But it's really the people and the variation in neighborhoods and the type of apartments you can get in the city. Everything from, you know, $10 million down to $2,000 a month. It's interesting.
Yeah, you get a closet for about $2,000 a month. You're right.
No, you certainly get. Have you gotten more love or hate, James, via social media?
You know what? I have to say it has been pretty much 50-50, you know? I don't really pay attention to the quote-unquote hate. Everybody's got their opinions, and, you know, sports figures are sacred. You know, I'm from Boston. My entire family is, like, diehard Red Sox fans, and you don't mess with that, so I get it. whatever, you know.
So a lot of hate
off my back.
A lot of hate from Cavaliers fans.
You know, what's actually been the most interesting part is, you know, I don't have a wife. I have a husband, and the homophobia comments, that's been the most difficult part.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Aside from that, I can let it roll off my back. But people kind of taking the gay angle to, like, take shots at me. That was the only part that I was a little disappointed in people about. But you know what? Again, I let it roll off my back.
That is so stupid. All you did was say, don't take a picture of me. Who doesn't do that? Anyone would say that. Don't take a picture of me. I don't know who you are. What are you doing with this camera in my face? That's the dumbest thing.
I hope more good comes out of this for you than bad. And I was very happy to see you did what you did. And best of luck in your little media tour now. Enjoy it, because as they say, this could be the 15 minutes of fame. Hopefully it's not. You get more than that. But enjoy the ride while you're on it now.
I definitely am. And I thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You got it, man. Good luck with the show.
Thanks a lot, you guys. Have a good morning.
All right, you too. James Michelangelo.
Why do you have to take the homophobic route?
Well, because people are the worst. Are so that's why. I mean, it's terrible. It's just, but you figured that would happen.
God, they're stupid.
Especially on Twitter.
Dumbass.
And that's where people go. Regrettably, but it's but it happens. Man, it was funny. Like, why are New Yorkers so angry?
Apparently,
you
everyone's
don't
angry.
Say hi to me.
Yeah, best. What? That is
all of you are the worst, yelling at people and being all inconsiderate.
Honking at people and
what?
Speak or nothing.
Right,
all the people that speak are coon and coop.
No.
I don't know what the hell that's saying.
No. It's coop and Calhoun. That's
it's
coop.
It's
hoon.
It's
hoon
and coop.
Okay, there you go.
No star.
You got it now.
That's why I said
the yeah, hit it.
There you go. Hoon and coop.
All right, you feel better about this now? You got a little off the rails there.
I think it off the rails.
No, you were getting angry. You were talking about everybody being angry. You were getting angry.
Saying I don't speak to folks.
It's not what I said. I said when you speak to them, but you speak nastily to them.
It's not only you guys.
That's all we see.
Right, exactly. That's all we
that
know.
Bull, Doogie. You see me speaking nicely to other people.
No, here's what we see.
Caitlin, Miss Vicky.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We're going to show you how to become a better man. Mr. Chernoff.
Yeah, you know what you said to him this
Mr.
morning?
Mr. Spitz.
You
what?
Put your arm around him, and he's little, and he's fragile, and you pushed him towards his office and said, let's go to your office right now. Close the door. It only hurt for a second. Yeah. To your
hey,
boss.
Out there, how's your anger
That's
toolbox?
That's what you said.
Yeah.
That is not what I
said. You gonna have
it
sex
is.
With him, Brian? Is that what you were gonna do?
Better sex.
I mean, this is what we see.
This has gone off the rails.
We only know what
that
we see.
That is not what I. Yeah.
You're not gonna be able to win this one, man.
You de-escalate a situation and not allow your anger to get the best of you.
That's what I'm doing. I'm de-escalating this situation right now. Thank you.
Mikey B told me that he is investing in JMA New York. He had a decision to make.
Oh, really?
He's gonna put his dollars behind Better Man or JMA New York.
Yeah. And you give me a signal.
Well, of course you had to go there.
Like, well, I didn't know the man was gay.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter. I didn't know he said, I'd rather not have a male spread. He want a female spread. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. Because, hell, I didn't know. No biggie. And he was right. No, I hadn't seen you. Or you've not seen my work.
No, no, it's his video he explained. I guess because LeBron and Dwayne Wade, when he put the hand up in the air thing, he was like, oh, he doesn't want his wife to see him or whatever.
Mm.
So then he explained that. And
that's
was like.
What he said.
I don't
have
a wife, actually.
Oh, okay.
I've got the husband instead of the wife. And then that was the big video that got tweeted out. So you hadn't seen it yet. Not a big deal.
No, I've seen the video. I just hadn't listened.
Oh, okay.
I didn't hear the verbiage that was
venting
about.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, so.
If it was a female spread, you would have been all about it. I'm sitting there giving the throat slash. No! 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 Masculine humor.
Man brain. Woman brain.
No. He's gay.
I'm looking at you and Mike, you're like,
he
what the hell?
He doesn't like women.
I think, what, we got to dump this? What did I say?
He doesn't go by Dave Doe either. Brian, no. All right, more for me.
Diving towards you.
He has a hard day.
Dave Doe.
Am I right in seeing that your inner circle refers to you as such?
No.
You're just amazing.
So you prefer a female spread, right?
No.
Animal spread? No, I'm just joking.
Gosh. That was great.
No, you guys' reaction was like, what the hell is going on? You like some.
All
like you directed an airplane. Yeah, right.
Mike held up a picture of a penis from the control room.
I don't think that's supposed to be on the play chart, man.
He's pointing at.
He's like.
Like, yeah, right. Like they do from the sideline of football.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike's just got a couple of them in the back, holding it up through the glass.
He's waving flares.
Oh, that was great.
Wow, my bad.
Anyway,
yes.
Yeah. Transition from that. Bogish.
Thanks to
thanks, guys.
James Michelangelo. Anyway, Bogish, you got an update,
man? I do. The Carolina Panthers scored 19 seconds before halftime on Monday Night Football, and then 3 minutes, 10 seconds after it.
Newton by himself, shotgun snap is high, pulls it down, throws outside, punches, gets a block at the 30 on the numbers, the 20 down the near sideline, the 10, the 5, inside the pylon, touchdown, Carolina! What a throw! What a catch and run by Devin Funchess.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood won 4 touchdown passes for Newton. His Panthers scored on 5 straight possessions to thump the Dolphins 45-21. Carolina, franchise record 548 yards plus 30 first downs. What happened now? What did I do?
Mike had a good point. Can I share that point or no?
I don't care.
Just at the end, like you went full like, oh, how dare these people with their homophobia? Like to try to like go back to wash over your mistake at the beginning of the.
It wasn't a mistake. I didn't know. It wasn't a mistake.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
How's that a mistake?
You know what I mean. Whatever.
Yeah.
Mistake.
Wash it over. It's stupid for people to go over.
I know it is. It was just funny. We went from that
funny,
moment
Mike
to that.
Shut the hell up. Man's doing an update here. Right?
Thank you, Brian.
Put the penis back up.
How about that sack?
Okay, so the Raiders broke ground on their Vegas stadium last night, and because it was Vegas, George Lopez was the MC and Wayne Newton was there.
What?
Yeah. Wayne Newton's still alive?
That was my first thought
as well.
not tomorrow. Colts QB Jacoby Brissett and Chargers QB Philip Rivers are in the concussion protocol, and Cowboys linebacker Sean Lee has a strained hamstring. He'll likely miss Sunday's game with Philly and Thanksgiving against the Chargers. Steph Curry was out with a bruised thigh, so Kevin Durant scored 21, 20 from Draymond Green, 16 from Sean Livingston. The Warriors topped the Magic 110-100. Portland handled Denver 99-82. The Bucks beat the Grizzlies 110-103. The Wizards 110, the Kings 92, and the Cavs rallied for a 104-101 win at the Garden. The Knicks led by 23 in the third quarter, 19 fourth quarter points from Kyle Korver.
Hey,
no wrong white guy. Aaron Judge is your AL Rookie of the Year. His phone line is not your MVP.
Quite an honor, you know, especially, you know, going into spring, you know, fighting for a job, you know, which has always been my mindset every year, as to go out there and earn a spot, and then, you know, to keep fighting and grinding out with my teammates and be in this position is a dream come true.
And then there wasn't so many lovely things said about me. And I'm glad.
If only I had that kind of interference when Brian was saying stupid things. Oh, so now it's not funny?
When did I say stupid things?
Oh, no. Yeah, bogus. What did you say? Something stupid.
All right. Put the sign up for me.
Hold it up, Mike. Hoist it again.
Fine.
Raise the Jolly Roger.
Judge and Dodgers first baseman Cody Bellinger, unanimous selections for rookies of the year. In the NHL last night, the Flames beat the Blues 7-4. The Hurricanes dumped the Stars 5-1. And Italy fails to make the World Cup for the first time since 1958. Guys.
All right, Bogus, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Coming up next.
What?
We've got to play our favorite game. Is that racist? With Brian Jones. So we will play Is That Racist? With something that happened last night on Twitter. So stay tuned.
This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Former Carolina Panther and now a host at WFNZ in Charlotte, a guy we hung out with in San Francisco for a little bit during that Super Bowl week.
Yeah, that was a great party.
Right. He is a definitely a good dude, and we're looking forward to talking to him as the Carolina Panthers were able to dominate last night.
Annihilate.
On Monday Night Football. All right, but first we're going to play everybody's favorite game, Is This Racist? All right. So, last night, Brian, and only you can play this game. I can't play this game. You can play this game. You are the contestant. I am the host, and Is This Racist?
That is so not true.
I have a feeling. Yeah. I've got to, you know, sort of like...
What are you feeling?
Well, I'll tell you after we're done here. Because
right.
I'll just agree with whatever you say.
I do feel threatened.
Sometimes. The answer is sometimes. All right, so is this racist? Peter Vesey is an NBA writer, and he used to cover the NBA for the New York Post, I believe, and then they got rid of him. He had a lot of too much money, whatever. So last night during this whole deal with Cantor and Frank Ntilikina and LeBron James and Madison Square Garden, Peter Vesey tweeted out this, quote, "Like Cantor is going to be intimidated by LeBron, a guy who stood up to Tayyip Erdogan, who is the...
Erdogan.
Who is the guy in Turkey, the Turkish right. dictator.
Right? Yeah.
Imagine him being scared of a N, asterisk, 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 mm-hmm. who breathes the same air as him.
Yes.
All right, now, this is a little caveat here yes. to Is This Racist, all right? And welcome to Is This Racist, if you're just joining us. So
some of them have been here a long, long time.
Yeah, right, they have. It's been going on for a while. I know, because I am a hip-hop fan,
yes.
that is a lyric from yeah. the late, great, Notorious B.I.G.
Great album.
Yes.
Life and Death?
Life After Death.
Life After Death.
Right. Yeah. So, he is quoting Biggie here.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
to me, didn't feel right. Brian Jones, is this racist?
Insensitive. Racist, I'm going to say no, but insensitive, yeah. 74-year-old white cat digging Biggie. Yeah, I didn't know he would be down with Biggie, but I'm sure Biggie drew in all types, all shades, all ages.
Yeah.
I'm going to say not racist, inappropriate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not racist. Wow. Yeah. Who had that?
Yeah. Inappropriate. Highly inappropriate. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us yeah. on this episode of Is That Racist? Brian Jones going, no, not racist.
Yeah. Someone put it, I think it was Bomani Jones, uncomfortable way to find out that Peter Vesey is a Biggie fan.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable way.
Yeah, it certainly is. Now, he did not back down from this
no,
at
he
all.
Didn't. He did not.
So I'm going to give him a little credit for that, at least. But I mean, I don't. You just can't do that. I mean, first of all, any time that the N-word is used by a 74-year-old white guy talking about a black basketball player, you got to understand that the people are going to be sensitive to that.
Well, people are going to be sensitive to that, but here's the pushback I would say, whether he's 74 or it's a 12-year-old listening to hip-hop these days, those lyrics are out there, and if you don't want people repeating them, don't put it out there.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand that point, but also, I mean, isn't it, this is, we're going to go down this road, and I don't want to go down this road, but there's also a difference from where it comes from, right? I mm-hmm. mean, there just
there,
is.
There is a difference, but in my estimation, yeah, you have a black person over to say, well, I can say it, and you're right, but you shouldn't say it. I don't use it. I grew up using the word, and I evolved. I like to think I evolved, and I don't use it, even though it's in some of the music I listen to. When I'm singing along or rapping along or whatever you want to call it is that I'm trying to do, I leave that portion out as best as I can. So it's there, and certain people say, yeah, I can use it. I'm black. Okay, fine. Well, you can't be upset when others who like that genre, they then use the term. And you know, there are other, you know, some of the bigots will say, well, you're saying it, why can't I say it? And I always tell them, okay, go ahead and say it. Just make sure you're around a circle of black folk when you say it, and see how that works out for you. So the gist of the story is this. How about no one uses it? How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a guy here training. What's his name? Connor? Is that his name?
Yes.
So we're just gonna,
Connor Green.
We're going to have a test here. Connor, why don't you come to the studio, use the N-word.
Yeah, Connor. Come
see
on.
Let's see how Brian feels about it. All right.
Go get him, Connor. Come on. Where are you? Don't hide.
We'll just test it out.
Yeah,
and
let's test it out.
See how it goes.
I mean, he's
over.
Expendable, right?
Well,
right.
I mean,
go get him, Connor. Yeah. Come on, Connor.
It's for the show,
right?
You know, and it's for the people.
Yeah.
So just
we
come,
have to give them what they want.
Come in here.
This is going to be a useful experience.
No. Sit back down, Connor.
Come on, dog. Let's try this out.
It's a tricky.
Richard Pryor and oh boy, what's his name? The comedian on Saturday Live when they did that, the word association. Ah, I can see his name from the vacation movies.
Chevy Chase.
Thank you. Yeah. Do you ever see that one?
Yeah,
where they did the word association.
Yeah, it's like white and
honky, and spear chunk, and right. Then he's did the N word, dead honky.
Yeah, right. That was very funny. Yes. Okay. Racial humor.
Yeah.
Who
knew?
But yeah, it also not everybody knows that lyric. That's
true.
The other thing.
Right. Right.
And like I knew right away because I was a big Biggie fan. That was right in my wheelhouse. But there's hip hop out now that of course still uses that word that I wouldn't know. So let's say he was quoting, I don't know, give me Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't know a Lil Uzi Vert lyric.
Yep.
And I'm thinking immediately that Peter Vesey is calling LeBron the N-word, which to me is like mind blowing. Like, and I shouldn't have to go and research. There's just too much ambiguity there with this tweet for me.
Right.
It just comes across like, and Enes Kanter was fighting with Kyle Korver and he said this, it would also be a little bit different too.
Yeah.
But the fact LeBron's black and Peter Vesey is saying this, not everybody knows the lyric. To me, it was like, ugh!
Right. It's out of context because you're not up on that particular song, and the song is N-word, bleed. So you're not up on that. That's from, when that album dropped? 94, 95?
No. I think 94 was his first one, Ready to Die. I think it was like 97.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, you're correct. 96, 97, around there. And so not everyone is up on that song. It's not like it's in heavy rotation currently. And,
right.
And so it's out of context. And yeah, if it had been a white player that got in his face, were you going to quote Billy Joel or somebody? I mean come on.
We're moving out.
Yeah. So come on, Petey. Pete, come on, Peter Vesey. Just raw. How about no one use it? There we go. We've cured the problem.
Coming up next, Frank Garcia joins us. He's fun. He likes the Panthers. He's gonna talk to us about Cam Newton, Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.